Okay. The purpose of studying 119 as an individual. Strengthen my attitude towards the Word of God. Strengthen my devotion to the Word of God. Strengthen my trust in God for what He says in His Word and that He is able to do it. Now, we all say, oh, we all believe that. We all are people of faith here. And we know faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So, what's the deal? As we get into the study, maybe you'll find out, well, maybe I can improve in something. I know I can. This psalm, Psalm 119, was written for all ages and for all time. It's in the law of Moses. It's found in the Psalms. But they don't know exactly when it was written. A lot of people put it with David because of some of the verses that's in it. It sort of matches a lot of what's going on in his life. But there have been people from the beginning to Job onward to the time that the people went into the Babylonian captivity, that some people had these problems. And especially when there's rulers who are opposing them and over them. And the princes are sitting there, as we'll see in some of the verses. So, you know, we're not going to say this was written this time. Psalm 90 is written by Moses, and he lived 500 years before David. And so, you know, they're compiled, evidently, by the writers and the scribes and everything when they put the Psalms together. Some are written by David, some are written by Asaph, some are written by Korah, the sons of Korah, others, you know, during the temple worship, that kind of thing. So, written for all ages, but we don't know exactly when. It's very different from any other psalm in the book of Psalms. It is acrostic. That means it has 22 parts. Each part has 8 verses. Each line and verse of those 8 verses begin with one single Hebrew alphabet for that section. By the time the writer gets through with the 8 sections, he's gone through the Hebrew alphabet. Someone said it's the golden ABCs of praise, love, power, and use of God's Word in the Hebrew language. So, all but one verse, verse 122, mentions the Word of God in some form. Don't you find that interesting?
I disagree with that.
What?
I think there are 5
verses. 5 verses?
Yes.
Like
five
what? Well, let's look at those.
No, I don't think it's the time I hear.
No, we can look.
But there's 84, 90, 121, and 132, and 132.
Okay.
Talk about the character of God.
Yeah, the character of God.
That is different than
the Word.
The Word of God.
It's verses 90, 138, 132. No, what?
90, 84, 90, 121, 122, 132.
Okay.
When you read, the character of God is talked about in there, but it's not in the same characteristic of when you talk about the Word of God, the commandments, the judgments.
That is true. I have that on the bottom of your page, hopefully. Faithfulness, that's a characteristic of God, that is verse 90, and some of the verses that Pat said. The name pertaining to everything that God is, all that applies to His being, to His authority, to His character, to the honor due Him, and His judgment. We find all of that within the psalm. It is, does not say, as Pat so rightly said, the word. It is not statutes. It's not precepts. It's not commandments. It's not testimony. It's not commandment. It's not judgment. It's not truth. It's not word. And it's not way. All those are mentioned pertaining to the Word of God and law. I forgot law. What is law to you? What does that connote to you?
A rule to follow.
A rule to follow. Something to direct your steps, to guide, to teach. God's law in this psalm does that. Any other thoughts about law, that word that is used there? What about statutes? A little bit different. Statutes is to mark or trace out, describe, ordain a way of conduct. Law does too, but just maybe in a little bit different way. This is a statute. This is the, you are to observe and obey to be pleasing to God, just like law. Precepts. It's a mandate. It's to assign a mandate. It is not a concept. You know, we're all familiar with concepts, and we can choose whichever concept we want. A precept of God is to attend to the thing that's been respected by His Word. Okay. Commandments. Those things God has ordained to show us what we should do and what we should not do. Any other thoughts on those that you had as maybe as you read through? Testimonies. What does testimony do?
Bear witness.
Bear witness. It bears witness or testimony to the fact or confirmed matters that we should believe or practice because they're the testimonies delivered by God. Judgments or ordinances. To judge, regulate, order, because they judge what is righteous and unrighteous. They judge what we should and should not do. And if we do, the judgment that comes from that, good or bad. Any thoughts on judgments? We'll see as we go through the psalm, the verses that deal with judgments. Truth, divine revelation, that is established by God and proven to be true. Word, those things spoken by God and are written as God revealed through the Holy Spirit. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Any thoughts? Okay. Way. Just the direction that we're to go in. Our way. The way God wants us to live. We can choose, but He's given the way we should walk. And then the righteousness, faithfulness's name that is mentioned in the psalm, in those verses. Any thoughts up to this point? Let's turn to one psalm, Psalm 119. Melissa, would you read Psalm 119, 1 through 3, please?
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimony, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his way.
Okay. And Pat, would you read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. We all know this passage.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work.
Okay. What I asked you, what is the overall purpose from Psalm 119, 1 through 3 and 2 Timothy 3? The purpose of God's Word. What's the purpose?
Teach, reprove, correct, train.
And go ahead.
So we could stand blameless in His sight.
Okay. What does blessed mean? How blessed? Spiritually prosperous. You want to be spiritually prosperous? Way and have a blameless way, but it's not because our way is blameless, it's because our way that we walk in the blameless way of the Lord, the way, the law of the Lord, that will make us right before Him, not of our own selves because we're so perfect, but because His way is blameless. And as Pat read in 2 Timothy, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Oh, we think of somebody else. We're going to go teach somebody else. They're all wrong. We've got the answers. What about myself? What about reproving myself? What about changing my mind about something because I missed it before? Teaching. It doesn't matter how old you get. You keep reading the Bible, you're going to learn something new. Is that correct? How many of you have found that to be true? Okay. So, we never just get there. It helps us to train us in righteousness. Yes.
I just wanted to reemphasize the part on verse 2 of chapter 1 of 119 is to seek Him with all your heart. If you're not seeking Him with your whole heart, you're only half seeking. You know, not you only do what you want to do, not
absolutely
seeking His true self.
And I have that down as the next point.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You, Elizabeth. You led right into it. Seek Him with all their heart. Okay. And what does that mean, to seek with all your heart?
We have to have the right attitude, like you were talking about, and wanting to put God first.
Okay. And that sort of leads in then to... Yes.
This phrase, I didn't look it up. I think this phrase is used of David in the divided kingdom, where it says this king, he was good, but not like David, who sought God with a whole heart.
With a whole heart. He had a God after, he had a heart after God's own.
Earth.
Yes. And so, that's a good point. Do we want to have the same kind of attitude? Okay. What is God's expectation in verse 4? You have ordained your precepts that. Why?
That we keep them.
We should keep them. God just didn't spin His wheels giving out the law of Moses? Did it spend his will giving the prophecy? Yes.
We can keep them, but we need to keep them diligently.
Diligently. What does that mean, Dawn? Diligently.
You have to be purposeful. You have to focus on that and make sure that you're not sidestepping or half-heartedly doing them.
Exactly. Exactly. That we should keep them diligently. And verse 7 talks about giving thanks also, okay, to him. But we'll get in more into that when we get into the praise aspect of it. Okay. In verse 1 through 3, what are the action words?
Walk, observe, seek, and do unknowing righteousness.
Walk. What that mean?
Make your way of life.
Make your way of life according to the law. Who observe his testimonies. Observe means to inquire, to seek, so as to secure and make it your own. To observe carefully, diligently, make it your way of life. Seeking him, the same. What does seek mean to someone?
Search.
A diligently search for. Okay. And do no unrighteousness. So what's the opposite of do no unrighteousness?
Do righteous.
Do right. What's right? What God says. So you want to do right before God? Seek, search diligently, observe his commandments, walk in, i.e. walk in his ways. Okay. In Deuteronomy 6, yes, go ahead.
It's interesting. The first, you talked about blameless. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. And then he tells you how to make your way blameless.
Absolutely.
In the following, in the rest of those three verses there.
That's right.
And well, really throughout that whole section. Yeah.
And when we go into Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 5, Sally, would you read Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 5?
Now this is the commandment, statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart.
Okay, and drop down to verse 7.
7?
Mm-hmm.
You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Okay, in verse 10.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead.
Okay, and in between there, he tells you how to do it. Do you look? You shall have no other gods before me. Just like we were talking about before. Pat said, how do you do it? How do you do this? How do you walk in the way? How do you do this? He tells it. He told the children of Israel. You know what? He didn't ask anything they couldn't do. But he told them how to do it. He expected them to be careful about it. Remember that word diligently that Dawn's talking about? Careful to do it. It's not something that comes easy. It's not something that just comes by osmosis. It's not something that comes without diligent, careful planning, purposing, willing, doing your best you can. Not making excuses, but doing, striving what God said. And why? So it'd be well with them. They were going to be blessed. That was the blessing. They had a curse. Okay. What happened when they didn't love God with all their heart? Yes.
9 says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
So what does that mean, Sally?
That means just think about it, do it every time.
Sort of like meditation on God's word. Put it in the forefront of your mind. Have it with you all the time. Not sitting on a shelf somewhere gathering dust for when you get ready to do your lesson to go to church sometime. Okay.
It's usually used to write death and births. And
what?
A lot of people don't use the Bible for anything but show. They write down when you're born, when somebody died, when somebody got married. It's not something that people of the world, and even sometimes Christians, they have a little pretty Bible that sits out. And they may have one they bring to church, but some people you can look at it and tell it hasn't been open very much. They may say it's years old, but it does not show anywhere.
Exactly. And so, what happened to Israel when they didn't obey that?
Carried on into captivity.
They went into captivity. Man, they had sword, they had famine, they had disease, they were in captivity. Israel didn't return. They led horrible lives. The land didn't produce. It was famine. They weren't blessed by God.
They ended up wandering in the wilderness.
Well, that too. They suffered the judgments that God said they were going to suffer because they didn't honor Him as God, listen to Him, listen to Moses. They grumbled. Hardships come. They went into the land. They were fearful. They didn't trust what God said. And we're going to talk about trust more and more. That was one of the reasons I wanted to study this, to have me to trust more, even in the face of trials and difficult and heartache, whatever comes, to listen to God. Okay.
We talk about and think about their suffering within captivity. They suffered in the book of Judges.
They did.
They were not, Joshua dies and they're already in a mess.
Exactly.
Because they did not do what Moses and Joshua tried to teach them.
That's exactly right. In Deuteronomy 30:15, Moses put two things in front of them. Death and life. Blessing and adversity or curse. Choose. Joshua said, choose whom you'll serve. Well, guess what they chose? They chose the idols, the gods of the land, the gods of their lives. What was around them? What was easy? There's peace, there's security, there's money, there's position, there's social position, there's things, there's fleshly desires, there's family. What's the false god that we may face every day? Or even pain, disease, pending death of a loved one. These things can weigh on us. we're not careful, we'll be in the same as putting those things and not trusting God to get us through those things. Any thoughts before we go to five? Did Jesus have a different expectation to his word in the Matthew 7 and John 12 and John 3? No. What do you expect, Melissa?
He always expected obedience.
Obedience. Matthew 7 says, only those who do the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. That sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? John 12, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one that judges him in the last day. The word I spoke will judge him in the last day. That's how important it is. What the Lord says, the books are going to be open. Revelation. And I'm going to be standing there. And he's the judge with his word. He's not going to change it. It's written and it's there. It's sealed. It's set. I'm not going to change his mind. John 3:36. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life but the wrath of God. The world we live in whitewashes this all over the place. They want to change the New Testament to say a lot of things it doesn't say. We need to be careful that we're not caught in that whirlwind. What does James 1, 22 and 25 say? We're all familiar with James. What's it say? One hearing the word without doing it is not blessed. What? There's that word that we just read over in Psalm 119:1. How blessed. They're not spiritually prosperous. They're not in favor with God. Those who abide in it is blessed. Any thoughts on that? Overview of the study. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time with this. I wrote on the page there, afflictions facing the writer. Just for example, verse 28, grief. Susan, would you like to read that?
Just verse 28.
119, verse 28.
My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to thy will.
Okay. Grief. We'll go in more in detail about what the context of this is and what he's suffering. But what does it say, Susan? Strengthen me. Strengthen me by what? By will. What was he going to trust in? That. Okay. Lies were being told about me. Anybody ever have any lies told about you? Sort of change up what you said to make them look better, or just out and out lie about something to get back at you? I don't know about you, but I have. How you feel about that? Wonder if you're completely surrounded by that. You don't have a group of people up there at Humble Church of Christ that you can go to and find comfort with and study the Bible with. He's sitting there, and then they're out to get him. Sort of reminds me of Jesus with the Jews, you know? And we all know where Jesus turned. He did a lot of praying. He did a lot of trusting in the Father. So, the wicked was waiting to destroy him. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish. We've all had anguish in our life. Broken hearts. We're going to look at how this psalmist was afflicted with this and what his answer was. Attitudes of heart. Verse 5, a prayer. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Have you ever prayed that yourself? How many of us sing a song? Savior, lead me lest I stray. Or, some songs that talk about changing your thinking and changing your ways based on what God's Word says, and you want to be better for that. We sing songs all the time that have this thought in it. Oh, that my heart, oh, to be like thee. That's one of my favorite songs. When I sing it, where's my heart? Where's my mind? And what am I going to do about it? That's the thing. You're just going to let God sit up there and say, oh, to be like thee, God. Blessed Redeemer. Thank you, Lord. What are we going to do about it? Let's see what the psalmist did about it. Benefits of observing God's word. It makes us spiritually prosperous. That's verse 1 and 2. It guides, verse 5 and 9. It teaches and gives understanding. It revives and strengthens. We're going to look at all these verses, Lord willing. It sustains. It gives hope. How many of us need all of this? What about the warning? Oh, I don't need that, Lord. But I need that last one, the salvation. It saves. Do I want to live with him in heaven, or do I want to live with the devil in hell? It sort of comes down to that. We don't like to think of it that way a lot of the time. But it saves. His word saves. And it saves us from a lot of heartache too. If we loved our neighbor like we should, and we loved our husbands or wives like we should, we trained our children like we should, it sure does give us the kind of life that the Lord wants for us. But it also gives us trials if we stand up for it. Because sometimes it splits families. Sometimes somebody in our family don't want to hear it. Sometimes our neighbors don't want to hear it. Our friends don't want to hear it. And they aren't your friend anymore. But what's important? What's more important? Okay. There's praise and prayers in here. This psalm is full of the praise of God. Not only his word, but the character of God. Like 64, the earth is full of thy loving kindness, O Lord. Thou art good and dost good, 68. 156, great are thy mercies, O Lord. He's praising God. 165, those who love thy law have great peace. Then just a few of the prayers. verse 5 we've already covered. Verse 8b, don't forsake me utterly. You ever been in a situation where you're just utterly, utterly overwhelmed? And there is nothing you can do. God, don't forsake me. Help me. Give me strength. And then he says, don't let me wander from thy commandments. Look at the attitude that this is in a prayer. Verse 25 is one of the answers. He finds, revive me according to thy word. Guess where he looked for his answer? For life again. And the surrounding passages, and we'll look at it. His soul is cleaving to the dust. He is down for the count. But new life, living again according to God's word. Incline my heart, turn away my eyes from, establish reference for, turn away reproach. And then he finishes, let my soul come before you. Let my soul live that it may praise you. That's just a few of the prayers in all those verses. Then he makes some vows. Man, we're going to get in trouble there. He makes vows. I'll give thanks to you with uprightness of heart, God. I'm going to keep your statutes. I'll keep your law continually, forever and ever. I have sworn it and I'll confirm it that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. We ever say anything like that? He sings some songs and praise and prayer. Where you lead, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you lead me, I'll go. We sing that all the time. We better mean it. And we better do everything we can to make sure we're not breaking our vow to God. Because when we sing praises to God, that's what we're doing. That's why we need the blood of Jesus, because we mess up. The wrath of God is mentioned in Psalm 119, those who do not obey His word. So we don't have to go outside this psalm to see the judgment of God on the unrighteous. And then we have a conclusion. Okay. Any questions about today's lesson? As we go through the lesson, we probably won't get more done than 2 pages. I just didn't divide it up, you know. So you'd probably be safe if your study time is limited or you get through 2 pages. If we do afflictions of the writer, and we probably will not get, you know, all 3 pages done. So we'll just get as far as we can. We don't want to go over time. Any suggestions?